Welcome to Healthy Family Connections, the podcast for families wanting out-of-the-box solutions to parenting and relationship challenges, with your host, psychotherapist and author of Ending the Parenting Control Battle, Neil D. Brown.
Is self-doubt and burnout making it exhausting to set limits with your teenager? Well, today's Healthy Family Connections podcast, episode number 19, is titled End Self-Doubt and Burnout and Become an Empowered Parent. It's sponsored by Neil D. Brown, LCSW. And I'm your host, Neil D. Brown, and I'm here to help you create that enjoyable family you've always dreamed of. And for those experiencing parental burnout, go to my website, neildbrown.com, and get your free control battle assessment to see where your relationship with your teenager stands and what you can do about it right now. And today we're addressing a question from a mother who wants to know how to handle her son who wants his independence while neglecting his responsibilities. It's a question that comes from Tracy of Victoria, Australia. And let's remember, this is an educational podcast and not a substitute for psychotherapy when you need it. Well, Tracy writes, I have a 16-year-old who wants to be treated as an independent, capable young adult and make decisions about his own life, yet at times he seems incapable of self-care or getting himself to school, neither alone bigger decisions. How do I find that balance? Well, first of all, I just learned something. I learned that in Australia, they say netherlone. And what I believe that means is that's the alternative to what we say here in the U.S., which is let alone. Netherlone there, let alone here. So thanks for teaching me and many of us that, Tracy. And let's go on to your question because it's an excellent question and a common dilemma for many, many parents. My kid wants the respect of young adulthood while not managing the responsibilities that go along with it. Well, in answering your question, I want to help you and our listeners understand the issues of parental self-doubt and burnout and the steps to overcoming that condition and becoming an empowered parent instead. Does that sound good? All right, let's go. As I ponder your question, Tracy, I ask myself, why is Tracy asking this question? If her son isn't managing his responsibilities, such as getting himself to school, clearly he hasn't earned the privileges that would allow him to do what he wants when he wants. Tracy, it's as if you're doubting yourself and your own judgment. And so by asking your question, it's clear that you know that he has his priorities wrong. It sounds like you may be second-guessing yourself. Maybe there's a discussion in your head that goes something like this. I don't think he's earned the right to be able to go out and do what he wants, but maybe I'm too strict. After all, don't teenagers need independence? And aren't they all a little irresponsible? He sure hates it when I say no, and I don't want to have to deal with that fight. Why doesn't he realize that part of being an adult is being responsible? Well, Tracy, I'm sure I don't have it exactly right, but I'll bet that some of it's at least a little bit close. So here's what I'm thinking. Tracy, if you have to second guess your every decision and don't believe that you can effectively set a limit with your teenager when you need to, parenting is going to be exhausting and you're going to burn out. There will be an ongoing control battle and control battles cause burnout. And as I've talked about before, burnout is no joke. Depression, exhaustion, and overall reduced physical and mental health is the result, and we don't want that for you, and you won't be able to give your son what he needs either. So to combat burnout, you need to be what I'm calling an empowered parent. And what, pray tell, is an empowered parent? An empowered parent is a parent who has a clear model to operate from that they are confident in, and they work from that model. And that's all they do. Then it's up to their child or teenager to figure out the formula and make it work for them. That way, The parent isn't making themselves crazy trying to get their child or teenager to behave. They don't do all the work. Hence, they don't burn out. So let me offer up a model, and then we can look at those elements that often sabotage a parent's efforts at implementing a model. Okay, well, parents set out the standards, and then it's up to the kid to meet the standards to earn the privileges. And by linking those things together, we teach our kids that responsibilities and independence go together. And by addressing the standards, the kids learn the skills necessary to become successful young adults. Tracy, there isn't one set of standards that all parents agree on. Yours are just fine. Just be sure you're clear about them. They may not be what other parents want or think, but our limits and values are the gift and the burden our kids get from us. They just get our best. They never are going to get perfection. So let me give you an example. Just because one parent, or let's say 10 parents, let their kids go to a party that is unsupervised, doesn't mean you have to allow that too. That depends on your values and your judgment, and that's good enough. So, two critical skills kids need to exhibit are, one, a good attitude towards their parents, including a respectful tone of voice, and cooperation with limits and expectations, and number two, a determined good effort towards their responsibilities, ownership of their responsibilities. Now, obviously, a certain amount of whining and complaining are common, but with those two essential skills in place, kids will travel through their adolescence with accountability to their parents, learning, growing, and as they do, earning increasing privileges and developing independence. Along their adolescent journey, they'll internalize the values that promote the behaviors of respect and responsibility, and will hold themselves to a high standard as this moves them towards post-high school success or emancipation. Now, by laying out clear expectations and staying positive and making clear that you believe in your kid and you're happy for them to earn privileges, and then taking the time to enjoy your teenager, things generally go pretty well. Smoothly, I don't know about that, but pretty well is great. Learning involves mistakes and failures, so there's going to be ups and downs, but by having a clear model and staying positive, parents and kids do pretty darn well. Well, Tracy, now that you have a basic good model to operate from, what elements will undermine an empowered parental position and invite self-doubt, a control battle, and burnout? One common one is when there is a mismatch in temperaments between a teenager and their parent. For instance, let's say you have a strong, confident temperament and you're used to making decisions and moving forward, yet your teenager is shy and sensitive and takes a while to be comfortable with a decision, particularly if they sense there could be some uncomfortable issues they'll have to overcome. Well, without understanding this natural difference, a parent could interpret their child's behavior as being weak, or worse yet, uncooperative. A situation like this can and often does turn into a control battle and leaves a parent feeling frustrated and helpless. Well, let's take the opposite situation, and this one might be yours, Tracy, where a parent is sensitive and tends not to be assertive in many situations, and they have a teenager who is clear, a strong arguer, and pushes limits. Now, this parent often becomes overwhelmed, and then they struggle getting their teenager to be cooperative and be responsible. Well, that's exhausting, and it will lead to burnout. When parents get into these control battles, often started by a temperamental difference, uses up all their resources, and then they're never confident in themselves or their teenager, and the result is a disempowered and burned out parent as well as an under-functioning teenager. Here's what you can do to reclaim your role as an empowered parent. Number one, accept both your and your teenager's temperaments as simply part of who you both are. That will help you not take their behavior as intentionally uncooperative. It will help you not take it personally. And it can help you reclaim your parental self-esteem. Regardless of your temperament, you can be an effective, empowered parent. You don't have to be a strong, loud parent to be effective. You can be exactly who you are and be who you are effectively. Number two, identify the skill or behavior you will need to adopt to manage your teenager's temperament better. For instance, for the confident go-to-action parent, slowing down, showing patience, listening, being reassuring, and willing to adjust plans to make things more comfortable for your teen, that is what will be important and effective. Now, for the shy, less assertive parent, since you're not going to out-argue your teenager, show patience and yet persistence. When they're arguing, simply offer active listening, which is always a good way, a good tool to avoid arguing. But once they've, you know, said what they need to say, now you can bring your voice into it quietly, your own way, your own voice, with clarity. This is what I expect, and this is the rule, and you are consistent, and you are positive. Those are very critical elements. And now the final element, which is maybe the most important, is follow through. Kids who are inclined to test limits won't believe you mean something. They won't believe your words unless they're followed by action. Once they learn that you will in fact take action and they will pay the price, then they'll start to believe your words and things can move along much better. In addition to temperamental difference between parents and teens, there are two other elements that will create or support self-doubt. Number one, a parent not getting their emotional needs met. Your kid isn't going to say, "Wow, Mom, that was a terrific limit you set with me. I know I was challenging and angry, but you hung in there and you did the right thing." Yeah, right, in my dreams. That needs to come from another source. Your partner, your brother, your sister, your aunt, a friend. How about a parenting group, if there is such a thing where you live? We all need support and validation, as well as fresh ideas. All right, that's emotional support. Number two, we need self-care. We all need alone time. We all need exercise. We need a chance to do our favorite activity, whether it's painting or dance or whatever it is. We need that for ourselves. If we don't take time for ourselves, we absolutely will burn out. Do not be shy to ask a family member, a friend, someone that you know to spend some time with your teenager or come over to the house and keep an eye on things while you take a day, a half a day, or right, a couple of hours, anything. Not only will you be doing yourself a favor, we all like to be helpful and we like to make a difference. So when someone comes over and to help, they're actually enjoying themselves. They gain pleasure knowing that they're needed and they'll enjoy having a direct relationship with your teenager. Your teen will benefit from being able to relate to another adult one-on-one without their parent around. That's always a good thing. And kids do much better with adults other than their parents. And the break, even for a few hours, will do you both a world of good. All right, so folks, if like Tracy, you find that you're struggling to set limits with your kids and they're just not doing what you need them to do and you're struggling with it all the time, it's time to pay attention to your self-doubt and your burnout and switch to being the empowered parent. Make sure, number one, that you have a solid parenting model to operate from. Being positive while requiring a good attitude and strong engagement of their responsibilities are essential elements in a workable model. Number two, make sure that you're aware of any temperamental differences that may be adding stress to your and your teenager's relationship. Once you're aware of your and your teenager's temperaments, make sure you have the skill set to support them and set limits with them. Number three, make sure you're getting your personal needs met. None of us can function up to our potential without emotional support and functional support. Those are critical. And don't be afraid to ask for help. We all need to get it, and we all like to give it. So thanks so much to Tracy for her stimulating question, and please do send me yours too. And thanks to everyone for tuning in. Remember, go to neildbrown.com and get your free control battle assessment to see where your relationship with your teenager stands. And please, take care of yourselves. You need it. You deserve it. You're worth it. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Healthy Family Connections with Neil D. Brown. If you have a question you'd like answered, head over to neildbrown.com/submit and enter your question for Neil there. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his weekly offering. You may want to pick up a copy of Ending the Parenting Control Battle at your favorite bookstore or online retailer. Join us again for the Healthy Family Connections podcast.